Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's Friday, March 15th, and this is Celtics Beat on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Adam Kaufman. Episode 563 features the Ringer's Brian Barrett.
And I'm Evan Valenti, and today's show is powered by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the official daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Download the app today and use the promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100.
Everyone, new edition of Celtics Beat. We got Evan Valenti back here with us. I am Adam Kaufman, and of course, we are not alone. Good friend of this program. Sometimes we're on his podcast on the Ringer, off the Pike. Other times he pops on with us, or we're just texting along and talking about Boston sports. Brian Barrett is here with us to really just continue our exploration of, all right, what in the hell do the Celtics need to do the rest of the regular season that's of any interest to us before the playoffs roll around and we dissect every single solitary move they make. Barrett, how are you, bud?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing well. Big win for the Celtics over the Suns. We got college basketball going on all day, all into the weekend, the tournament next week, a lot of NBA. So it's a great time of the year, man.
The absolute best part of the March Madness, too. And I sort of, you know, it's conference tournaments, as I think people out there know, if unless maybe you don't really dial in until we get to the field of 68, 64, the actual NCAA tournament begins. But these conference tournaments have been electric. And the best part is, you know, here on the East Coast, you have games start as early as some days 11 o'clock in the morning, and they don't end until 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's just basketball, 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 all day and day long, and I've been betting on it all day long, which is exhilarating and fun and dangerous because I just click, 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 Vegas at my fingertips. It's a wild ride, and I can only imagine what Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week are going to be like. But right now, let's obviously focus in on the pros, the Celtics, like you said, a win over the Suns. And, you know, it was a good win. Obviously, the Suns are a good team. We know that. You can debate whether or not you view them as a true championship contender. They have the talent, obviously, to go on a run. It's just they're so inconsistently healthy and available to where that's just not one of the teams that scares me when I'm thinking about who's going to be in the NBA Finals in the Western Conference. And quite frankly, to me, it's the Nuggets against the field anyway. And we can get into some of that as we go on with this show. But as far as this latest couple of wins, for that matter, as the Celtics sit at 52-14. They're running away with the lead. They're 9.5 games up on the Bucks for second in the East. They are the only team in the NBA to this point in time that has clinched a playoff spot as well. So, you know, it's truly just the waiting game until the playoffs, which begin basically 1 month from now. You know, once we get to tax day, mid-April, it's like, boom, playoffs are here. And these last couple of wins, I know the Jazz are nothing impressive, but what has been good about these wins is that Celtics are doing it undermanned. You know, there was no Kristaps Porzingis the last couple of games. That one game back, they were missing their top three. Not top three, but three of their top six. Porzingis was out. You had no Horford because of the back-to-back. Obviously, Jaylen Brown didn't play. And so what they have been able to do with the pieces that they have when available, it just continues to be very impressive. And I guess, Barrett, maybe that's one place to start, as well as just the Jaylen Brown factor. He has gone at a nuclear level since the All-Star break when he threatened for MVP of that meaningless contest. He has been playing at, like, forget All-Star, even forget all NBA teams. I mean, he's been playing at a top 10 level since the All-Star break. How much of this do you think is sustainable?
Well, the first thing, I'll get to Jalen in a second here, but I really liked how Tatum took the matchup with Durant personally in that game against the Suns, because of course Durant had 45, and like the Celtics won the game and Tatum said all the right stuff after the game about it's a team game, blah, blah, blah. You could tell in that game last night when Durant started to get hot in the first quarter, Tatum's like, I'm coming right back at you. And there was three consecutive possessions for Tatum where he hit back-to-back threes on Durant. He got to the free throw line prior to that. So I thought that was huge. But Jalen to me is the biggest difference, guys, because you could have made an argument prior to the All-Star break that was Jalen the third best Celtic the first half of the season? Was he the fourth? Like, you could have made an argument for Derek White or Kristaps Porzingis. Post All-Star break, he's the best Celtic, and it's not even close. And that's not to criticize anything that Tatum has been doing, but Jalen, post All-Star break, I tweeted this out this morning, he is second in fast break points. He is sixth in points in the paint. He is seventh in made twos. He's fifth in points per game. He's tied for third in plus minus. And a thing that sticks out to me, I went through this the other day, is the Celtics at the time were in, they were sixth in both attempts in the restricted area and points in the paint, after they had been in the bottom five in those categories pre-All-Star break. It's all because of one guy. It's not like, if you go through the numbers and you do the math comparing like Jalen, Tatum, Porzingis, all these other guys, it's all because Jalen has gone up significantly in all those categories, right? So he's bringing this new element to the game. And what I liken it to, it's like we talk about Porzingis. Nobody has done what Porzingis has done for that team, for this team. Certainly true. I mean, this is a guy you can play at the high post when you play a team like Miami. Bam can't switch off him, right? Because if he goes up against a smaller defender, that guy's toast. But this element that Jalen is now bringing to the game, it's just totally different than what we saw for the majority of the season. He did this after the All-Star break last year. It wasn't the same level in the postseason. I wonder if some of that had to do with not the late start, but he had the hand issue down the stretch of the season. Remember the whole, like, the watering the plants or whatever. But if he brings this version of himself to the playoffs, it brings the Celtics, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it brings them to a totally different level. And this has been the most encouraging thing, I think, post All-Star break. And to your question, I think he can sustain it. Why not? The guy, he revealed he's 240 pounds. The Portland game, Ayton bounced off him. This is a center. This is a 7-foot center that weighs 260 pounds. He bounced off him. I mean, we saw it in the game, like Royce O'Neal. I feel bad for that guy. He couldn't hit a three. Missoula's blocking him after the, you know, after the whistle. But Jalen and Tatum both going right through those guys. And Grayson Allen, Grayson Allen's in the game. Let's go after him. So I definitely think they can keep this up. And I love the fact that Jalen has, for lack of a better term, I don't even know if this is a term, that he's weaponized his physicality here post All-Star break.
Sounds like something that the Patriots front office is going to say about somebody that they draft. They weaponized his physicality. Go ahead, Ev.
Well, one of the things that Barrett brought up, and it's a great point about the rim touches, the paint touches, the Celtics have seemed to flip the script a little bit here post All-Star break. And that, to me, look, if you listen to the NBA takes sphere, because there's a kajillion NBA podcasts out there, but I would lump Zach Lowe towards the top of that list, and others. But Zach has been talking about this. He's been writing about this for ESPN, and it's literally the only thing he cares about is do the Patriots. Thanks, Kaufman. Do the Celtics get enough looks at the rim, whether they get to the free throw line because of it versus converting at the rim? Doesn't matter. Do they get to the rim at a sustainable level, at a higher level? And Boston is starting to show that. And that's really, again, Lowe talked about this, I think, months ago. It's like, that's the only hurdle they have left to climb. It's like, I just think they settle for threes too often. I think what has happened, and I think a lot of this has to do with Sam Cassell, Charles Lee, the new vibe around the coaching staff, and the new pieces together. There's a lot of guys that can get into the post a little bit, but Jalen, I want to say effortlessly, has been doing it for the past like month and a half, and it's effortless. I mean, he's really bully balling guys left and right every single night, and it's really fun to watch because it's like watching Jalen from when he was a rookie in the NBA to now. The guy is so different. He has changed so much and become a much better all-around player. The defense, like, the thing about Jalen is it's not just like points in the paint. His 3-point shot looks a lot better. His handle looks a lot better. He's sharing the ball a lot better. And defensively, he's turned it up a couple of different notches. He's always been a transition killer. He's always been that way. He's been a nightmare in transition, you know, since his like third or fourth year in the league. He's just added all the other stuff around it. And now, Barrett, you have a guy who can take over stretches in not a lot of time. And when you have that going on, you have Porzingis and his, you know, it seems like Jalen and Porzingis both get off to hot starts. And then you have Jason Tatum laying back in the weeds saying, you know what? Let's see what this game really needs. Let's let Jalen go here. Let's let Porzingis go here. And I'm just going to lay back here. I'm just going to survey the area and see what this game needs as we get further along into it. Having Jaylen Brown at this level is going to make Jason Tatum's life so much easier as we get towards the playoffs because of the attention that Jaylen is now commanding, both as an off-ball shooter and guy with the ball in his hands who can get into the paint.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous. And, like, even that little short mid-ranger he has now, like, between 4 and 14 feet cleaning the glass, has that he's at 50%, which is well over in the 90th percentile. He's been lethal when it comes to that. It's a shot he's always had. He's just shooting it significantly more efficiently now. And I do wonder, like, if part of the process with Jalen this year, remember how early on this season they talked so much about the two-man game with him and Porzingis? So I felt like he was sort of working on things. And I even question at times, like, is Jalen fitting into the offense right now? He feels like the one guy that's he's got to sacrifice a lot, but it's just Derek White was off to a great start. We had this whole Porzingis thing, Tatum's Tatum. And now it feels like Jalen has perfectly found his place within the offense. And Valenti, you mentioned the defense. This is by far the best defense he's ever played, right? He always comes out like in the negative in the impact metrics, but you look at it now, he's taken on teams' best players, right? I mean, last night it was more Tatum on Durant than it was Jalen on Durant, but most of these nights, especially like, they've now found this thing, and I think I give Missoula credit for this, that they're just like messing around with a bunch of things now since they have such a large lead in the East. But they've discovered like, hey, if it's a bigger guard, let's put Jalen on him. Let's not put Drew Holiday or Derek White on him. Let's say, hey, Drew, why don't you go cover Yusuf Nurkic and see what happens in that situation, right? And then what we saw in a couple of these games where Jalen is just like, hey, I'll take on the best player. I'll take on the opponent's best guard. He's done really well when it comes to that. And I feel like at times, Jalen, especially last year, would sort of fall asleep off the ball. And now that he always has this assignment, I think he's much more dialed in on that end than he's ever been.
Do you think, though, have you brought up something about, you know, this Brown at this level obviously makes Tatum's life so much easier. What I would wonder, though, is you think back to, and again, Brown has not necessarily consistently been at this level. Maybe he hasn't seen this level at all across the board with everything that we've been talking about. But recent playoff runs, and you could certainly make the case that in that finals loss to Golden State, Brown, you know, he was setting up to be finals MVP if they actually did go on and win that series. He was incredible. Tatum obviously was not. The team ends up, you know, blowing an opportunity to go up 3-1. They implode from there. And then last year fell short, as we know. But I just wonder, you know, there are these little moments, you know, you could think back to, what was it, the Cleveland game, you know, just last week where, you know, it was all about Tatum at the end of the game, the 19 dribbles and all of that. I just wonder when push comes to shove, as these games get more important, not to say that one was, but these games into the playoffs, you know, it's game 6, it's game 7 if necessary, whatever it is, these games get more substantial, the moment gets bigger. Tatum, not unlike, you know, Pierce back in the day, or his idol Kobe Bryant, you know, something we talked about a little bit last week with Steve Bulpet from Heavy.com. How much of this is going to be an insistence from Tatum to be the guy versus being comfortable saying, all right, maybe Brown's having a fabulous night. Let's feed him. Or maybe like I got three guys around me and I got to dribble the ball 15 times. There's White wide open on the wing, Horford wide open in the corner, Porzingis inside. We're going to find just the best shot for the team versus my opportunity to win this game. I'm not sitting here saying that Tatum is a selfish player. I don't believe that. But my point is, when we get to that portion where these games actually matter, do we trust that Tatum is comfortable in that? You know, doing, you know, you talk about surveying and letting the game come to him and operating with the full arsenal of weapons all around him. Will he do that when the games become their most significant?
Yeah, I mean, that's the last question I think they have to answer is how do they execute better at the end of games? And once they do that, they're going to be really hard to beat. I mean, look, I think the three of us together collectively think, you know, outside of Giannis going nuclear, I think the only team that can knock off the C's team is Denver. And Denver has the ability to end the game.
Miami until further notice.
I'm good.
Until they exercise those demons, I'm scared of the Heat.
That's fine. Can be. I'm going to be a little more confident about it. Regardless, though, the thing that separates Boston and Denver is Denver's ability to close out games because Jokic just doesn't care if he scores or not and just does whatever it takes. This is how nitpicky we get to be here, right? Tatum is literally just a little bit shy of the best player in the world right now of playing basketball. And if Tatum just does this one more thing, he can enter the stratosphere of like one of the best, like, cause you'd put Luka, you'd put Jokic and Embiid and Giannis above Tatum. If Tatum figures this out, then at that point, I think he can enter that stratosphere of like all timer legend sort of status, not just within the Celtics, but also just, you know, league wide. That's the only thing. Cause it's trusting your teammates at the end of games. Cause like the advantages are going to be there at the end of games if they want them. Like they're not going to guard the Celtics. They're not going to guard Tatum straight up. The double's coming from somewhere. It's just a matter of getting in your offense earlier, getting off the ball earlier, and then being a part of the action as it comes back around to you eventually because you're Jason Tatum. Like having to trust your teammates to find you if they need to find you. But like we talked about this via text the other day, Kaufman, about how like as Tatum gets doubled at the end of games, there's going to be a real easy slip screen right there for someone in the middle. And then you can kick it out to a corner to either wide open Jrue Holiday or wide open Derek White, like in the corner, right? At some point, you're going to have the option to do that. And it's just having trust in the guy, Jrue Holiday, who shot at, over 60% from the corners this year. And then Derek White, who is, I would say, maybe the clutchest player on this team. Like, those are great options for you. It's going to take Tatum believing that that's going to win them games versus him taking shots. And I don't know if it's him just doing it to get reps right now, like because at the end of the Cleveland game, you know, Mazzulla didn't take a timeout. You let it run, and because you can't simulate live game reps like this in practice, you can only do this here. My question is, at the end of really important games, will we see Tatum's growth because he's grown a ton this year as a playmaker, Barrett, or will we see him shrink back to what he normally does? Because that, to me, is the last hurdle that this team has to clear, and once they do, you're talking Banner 18 is within reach and within sight and probably going to happen.
Well, I think it's a totally fair question because we have to see it to believe it in a big spot in the postseason, because not that Jason Tatum hasn't had big shots in his career, but the point with that is like I go back to the Cleveland game and you wanted to get the Garland matchup. Okay, you got it, but you didn't go nearly quick enough, right? And this is like he went to his left and the defender cheated over. He had, I believe it was, I forget who it was. It was either Jrue or Derek White. No, I think it was Jrue on his left or whoever it was. It could have been Jaylen, but somebody on the left wing for an open three. If he just passed the ball right away, he didn't. He spun back and he took a bad shot against Darius Garland. And he didn't give his team enough time to get the rebound in that particular situation either, right? The first Denver game, not a good shot at the end of the game. And this is sort of the, I don't want to say aggravation because this team has been so good all season long. But one of the issues is in these clutch games, you look at the record. And it's really good because they've also beaten a lot of bad teams during this stretch. But against good competition in clutch situations, they have, on the season, clutch games, slowest pace in the NBA at last glance, right? So this is sort of why I get aggravated in these close games. And we're coming off a huge win they just had over Phoenix, so I'm not trying to be too critical. But my point with that is just, why can't you just play at the same pace that you've been playing, right? Because if you go to like some of these teams like the Lakers – okay, LeBron wants to slow the game down, dissect it, fine. Like, he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. Jokic, you're going to run stuff through Jokic, you may play slow, fine. With this Celtics team, they get so many good shots. They generate the most open threes in the entire NBA. So it's almost like they get this mentality at the end of the game where it's like they have to play in the close games, they have to play differently. And I know people say, oh, it changes at the end of the game. I just reject that notion. I think you could, like, the Warriors did this for years. The Warriors played the same way the entire game. I just think the Celtics sometimes in those close games, and we're not going to know enough until the postseason, they can play quicker late in games because it's going to generate a better shot rather than just standing around, because when they move around, they're getting open shots every time. And we're not going to see it to the postseason. I would say that most series, they're going to have two blowouts, right? Because the 3-point margin is just going to be so much in their favor. People want to criticize the threes. It works most of the time. And then there's going to be a game or two that you're going to have to win close. And that's when they'll have to answer those questions.
Well, I think what it boils down to, and this is a little narrative street, and I'd like, you know, someone to ask Joe Mazzulla about it, albeit not in these words. I agree with everything that you just said. If you're going to play a certain way for 45 minutes, why can't you play that way for 48 minutes? And I think what it comes down to, and, you know, for anyone out there that's watched episode 9 of The Dynasty on, you know, Apple TV, and I know Barrett, he's seen all of them, and they're all out now anyway, but, you know, Rob Gronkowski, and this is a totally different situation, but Gronkowski is talking about how, you know, the friction in the locker room was so great that basically he would, you know, come in from the parking lot, go in, you know, as soon as he stepped into the locker room, his a-hole tightened. And it was just, you know, you're walking around with your butt cheeks clenched the whole time, just nervous and uncomfortable. That's what the Celtics look like a lot of these times at the ends of these games. All of a sudden, it's a close game. It's within 5-6 points. There's 3 minutes left, and they're walking around like a bunch of dudes with their a-holes clenched. And they don't, you know, they just, I don't truly believe that they are lacking in experience or afraid of the moment or, you know, don't have the continuity or know how to play with each other. There's something mental there. It's not physical. It's not the ability. There's something mental there that just shows up at the ends of these games where all of a sudden they don't fully, and every once in a while it happens, but they don't fully know how to execute. You know, we've our buddy Seth, you know, we've got this text thread and I wish I could remember the exact line, but it's something to the effect of like when push comes to shove at the end of these games, like nobody plays dumber basketball than the Boston Celtics. Just like head against rocks, dumber basketball. And I don't really know what to attribute that to.
Quick break from today's show to tell you today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Football season may be over. The action on the floor is just heating up. Whether it's tournament season or a fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year, and you can get on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, so you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. And I can tell you about a lot of things, right? We can talk about the Taco Tuesday part of Prize Picks, those weekly promotions, where, you know, some projections could be jacked up a little bit of 25% to provide even more value to you as the customer. We can talk about how they offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits. But I'm going to tell you right now, I saw this the other day with Prize Picks. They're hooking up with Stephen A. Smith on his podcast. And if anybody's hooking up with Stephen A., you know it's good for the rest of the people. And I have good news for our listeners of this show because Prize Picks is now the official daily fantasy sponsor of CLNS. And thanks for a new partnership. Our listeners get a sweet new deal. Sign up with Prize Picks, download the app, use the promo code CLNS for first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code CLNS and a first deposit match up to $100 with that promo code after you just download the app. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, nobody does. It's the reason why everybody has questions. I mean, listen to the TNT guys last night. With the exception and Barrett, I loved your bowl point after.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, thank God we spent so much time talking about bowl at halftime. But that's the thing. That's the only thing they have left to do, and it's the only concern. I mean, again, I'm honest with you. I wish I could play Denver every game from here on out because that's the only time I could learn anything, right? Whoever the Celtics play from here, I don't care who's on the schedule anymore. They're not going to learn anything about themselves as a team at all until the playoffs and they play Denver, right? Like, there's just nobody on the schedule that puts any fear into me or into most people like Denver does, right? The Giannis game thing, I get it. It's been great. They've turned it around. Totally get that.
The only saving grace to them losing to the Nuggets again last time out is that it at least wakes up all the fools around here, talking heads, mostly Boston-based, some national as well, that just have completely, like, the Celtics are so much better than the Nuggets. They're so much deeper. And, but like, how can you take Denver seriously? Boston will wipe the floor with the Nuggets. I realize that if this is the finals matchup, if and when it starts, Boston will be the betting favorite, if you will. But as someone with eyes who's watched these teams play, Denver's the better team, at least right now.
Right now.
I mean, maybe a month from now, 2 months from now, that's different. But right now, Denver should scare the shit out of you.
They do. Absolutely. But it's the only way you're going to learn anything about this team and how they can function, how they get better. There's just not a lot of competition in the East, especially because Boston has the easiest schedule the rest of the way. Finally, right? Holy cow. Took only to March to get the easiest part of their schedule going. But for me, it's like, The only thing I'm waiting for is this. Missoula talked about having a curveball or two for come playoff time. I'm just curious what it is now. Like, what does he have? Because Joe's been cooking in the lab all season long. What does he have saved for the special don't break in case of emergency moments? Because he's going to have a couple of things to go to this year, and I'm pumped about it. You know, the Missoula ride, I think, is now – like, mostly positive. I think mostly everybody is, especially after Joe Mazzulla trying to block
Royce O'Neal.
Yeah, Royce O'Neal last night. I think most people are now on Team Joe Mazzulla. But, like,
I don't know. I still get a lot of people in my mentions telling me he is the reason they're not going to win a championship.
Insane.
Those people just aren't going to go away.
That's just insane. Insane.
Yeah, like, that argument, that was legitimate last year. It's not anymore. Like, Joe Mazzulla has done a lot of cool stuff this year, defensively, offensively. They're trying out all these different lineups. And look, yes, he has the blessing of having one of the most talented teams in the NBA. But so many coaches in the past, they just have their system and they go by it, right? Like, Mike Budenholzer won an NBA championship, so I'm not going to criticize him too much. But you know what his system is, right? Like, they're going to give up nothing at the basket. They'll give up above the break threes. Like, that's how they play. They want to play in a drop coverage all the time. Joe's mixing things up. He's trying different things. So I appreciate that. And the other thing I'd just say about Denver is I don't want to see Denver in the finals, like you guys are pointing out, because I would pick Denver to win the series because they have by far the best player, right? Like, the gap between Jokic and Tatum, unfortunately, is significantly wide right now. Any other team, I would feel confident that the Celtics are going to win the series, but it's just, and maybe this is going to sound crazy to say, he scares me more than LeBron ever did in a series, just because of the fact that you don't have a good matchup for him, right? Because Porzingis, not sturdy enough, and Jokic, we saw a couple times, he just put him in the basket, like, occasionally. You don't really, like, is Tillman really going to be that guy? Is it going to be Horford? I just don't think they have a great matchup for Jokic. And the thing is, like, there's just not a good answer, right? So if you double him, either he's going to throw an alley-oop to Aaron Gordon out of the dunker spot, or he's going to find somebody for a wide-open three. If you don't double him, he's going to score on you. So that's why, like, in a Denver series, you would really have to be, like, completely controlling these games where you have a wide enough margin where they can't come back at the end. Any other team that the Celtics line up against in the postseason, obviously, if they're healthy, knock on wood, I would pick the Celtics to win. I would be very confident. Denver's the one team that scares me. The hope is, from my perspective, maybe somebody can beat them in the West, but I don't see it. Like, Minnesota's all banged up now with the Karl Anthony Towns thing. Phoenix, I mean, I know they beat him a couple of weeks, so maybe they can just shoot like crazy. I am shocked how unathletic Phoenix is. Like, you put together a super team, you have no good athletes. It's staggering to me. Oklahoma City, okay, they do a lot of cool stuff, but guess what? Their guy that is
inexperienced.
Yeah, and Chet's probably weighs less than I did. Like, how is Chet going to cover Jokic, right? So I just don't feel like there's a – and the Clippers, I feel like at this point, they're all starting to get banged up. Now, maybe the, like, you know, the team that's like coming out of nowhere now is the Pelicans. I know they lost the other night, but I can't see how the Pelicans can deal with Denver. So I just feel like this is a collision course. And if Missoula, I mean, we're way away from this, but imagine if the Celtics ever won against the Nuggets, like, Missoula would get so much credit for that because he'd have to Valenti's point, he'd have to pull out some crazy stuff.
Yeah, he's going to need that for sure. I mean, I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves as we shouldn't.
They want to fight about it. Those are just people that, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're getting way ahead of ourselves at this point. But it's to me, it's just going to be about Like, if you, again, we just kept on talking about Denver, and I know there are other teams in the league, but like Denver is clearly, as the champs, what you're aiming for. I just hope that, like, when you play that,
you say we're getting ahead of ourselves, and we are, but that's because there's nothing interesting about the end of the regular season. I'm not saying it doesn't matter in that, like, oh, you shouldn't watch, blow it off, wake me when the playoffs get here. No, like, if you've been listening to this show for years, and going back to when I was doing Celtics at 7 on the Sports Hub, you know that I am, and Evan is like this as well, I am very much a, you know, enjoy the ride guy, and embrace the growth and development, and, you know, where we've been versus where we're going, you know, the royal we as just the, you know, fans and media and viewers of this team, you know, like, enjoy every night, enjoy them go out and throttle Washington and, you know, beat the Pistons the next night on Monday and have this, you know, maybe test in prime time on ESPN with the Bucks in the middle of the next week until we find out that, you know, Giannis or Dame isn't playing, and then the game doesn't, you know, ring as this quite the same way. Like, enjoy all of these moments. I'm not saying that. It's just, until you've brought it up multiple times, we all have the health, like, God willing, this team is obviously healthy come not only mid-April, but obviously May and June. And if they are, yeah, they are as deep and dangerous as any team in the NBA, Denver included. For sure. They can hold their own. They've shown that. Can they beat them in a series? We'll find out. You got to get there first. No doubt about it. But it comes down to staying healthy, because every team that is a true contender is a major injury away from going out in the first round. We all know that. But it's, you know, it's just, it's impossible to find any great meaning in the last few weeks of the regular season. You can't do it.
Yeah. And the one other thing, I agree with you, Kaufman, because it, now there's like subplots, like Jaylen Brown, all of a sudden, like, he could get into all NBA consideration. Like, there's that fact now that, like, it's different. It's no positions, whatever that is. Like, that's interesting. And getting Porzingis back, because he's been dealing with this hamstring injury for a couple of games. Like, yeah, and the games are entertaining. Like, I don't get me wrong. These games are awesome to watch. Like, this is probably the best Celtics team of my lifetime, like, on a day-in, day-out basis. I know what the 08 team did. They eventually won the championship, but watching every day, I mean, that team was more of a defensive stalwart than the offensive machine that this team is, of course. And so I prefer watching this team than the 08 team. I know that's, like, sacrilegious to say that, but it's, I enjoy watching them. What's that?
You just hate defense. You hate, yeah, games in the 90s.
Meanwhile, the Celtics are what? Are they second in defense right now? They're second or third. And, but going back to the Denver thing, like, they lost both those games. Tatum had a corner three. Like, you got to knock that down in a potential final series, or it really was talked about like it was the finals when he missed that shot. But they did find some stuff, like, late in that game, because maybe the answer is, with Jokic, you're never going to stop him offensively. So you got to go back at him, right? Because remember, like, Porzingis took 10 threes in that game. And part of the reason he did that was Jokic was guarding him, right? And Jokic doesn't go out that far with him, like, with the stretch big. And then at the end of the game, he was covering Drew. And Drew hit a couple of threes late in the game. So Malone actually took Jokic off Porzingis and put him on Drew. So that maybe is something that the Celtics would have to play, like, if they get into the finals against this team, is maybe they just say, like, we have to just keep going at Jokic on the other side of the ball, right? And he's a good defender. It's not like he's a bad defender, but it just, if you're going to make him run out to Porzingis when Porzingis is setting up to shoot threes all the time, that's going to cause a lot of strain throughout this series. And the guy's always healthy too. So, I mean, I'm scratching at anything to try to find the weakness on that Nuggets team.
Yeah, that's the thing that, and I mentioned this last week, but one of the things that, not in this podcast, but in other places, like, we just discount how good the rest of the starting five for Denver is. I don't think people really understand that, like, everybody else in that team is also really awesome. Like, you go through their starting five. Jackson Frank had a great piece. I think it came out yesterday or the day before, about how KCP is the most underrated fifth starter in the league. And he's absolutely 100% right about that. KCP is awesome. Some of the stuff that he does defensively is really unique and really different and really helps the machine go. You know, Jamal Murray, him and Jokic are the best two-man, you know, game in the league. Not even close, in my opinion. They got this feel of everything. Gordon plays that role so well. I mean, really well. And then they have a bunch of other guys that can come off the bench. And that's the thing for me. When you look at that Denver matchup, the both times they've played them, the Denver bench has played pretty well. And it's been a couple of different guys that have contributed in that particular regard. And Boston's bench has been a little iffy. So, you know, and Boston hasn't shot the ball really well against Denver either, but that could be Denver playing great defense. And Denver hasn't shot the ball well either against the Celtics. So it's going to be fun. And I don't know. We sit here, we talk about we can't wait until the playoffs because that's when stuff really matters. How long have I been talking about this? How many months? It's like, yeah, well, I feel like every show you had, like, yeah. Since December, you said?
No, I said since they acquired Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we'll see. Well, we're getting close. And I think it's just like the itch of it now is killing me. It's like, oh my goodness, we've hit mid-March and now the playoffs are almost here. And I can stop using the, we'll see. We're going to get to finally see in like a couple of weeks. And I'm like, literally, it's killing me on the inside. It's awesome.
Well, and the anxiety of it.
March Madness, when that ends, you'll be a week or two away. You'll be right there.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, the anxiety of it, right? Because it's like, okay, Porzingis is dealing with this hamstring strain. I know they want to be cautious with that, but just like get the group to the finish line healthy. It almost reminds me of like the Patriots, the second dynasty, where it's like, okay, is Gronk going to be there for the postseason? Is Gronk not going to be there for the postseason? Like, that's what it kind of reminds me of in so many ways. Is just get this team here healthy.
Don't play them.
They're not.
Honestly, it's the conversations we were having, you know, for years about Rob Williams, you know, including during that finals run. How do you get that guy available in the playoffs? Just don't, if you don't have to play him in the regular season, don't. Just wait it out. And I will forever applaud him from, you know, for coming back when everyone thought he wasn't going to, and you know, making it back for the end of, what was it, the Nets series, and then playing, you know, the rest of the way, you know, here and there. He'd miss some time, but, you know, Smart had an injury at 1.2. There's no lack of, you know, toughness during some of these playoff runs. It's just a function of ability. And we have seen, and this is not the last couple of years, and unless, I mean, some people want to point to Tatum rolling his ankle in game 7 last year. And I just think that's such a cop-out. Maybe they would have won. Maybe they would have. But that's a series that shouldn't have gone 7 to begin with. So don't point to Tatum rolling his ankle as the reason that you lost. It's
the first three games.
Yeah, it's the first three games. Exactly. You shouldn't have. It was an uphill battle from the very beginning, and it never should have been. Every series last year was made more difficult than it had to be. Every single one. It was absurd. You know, this team, you know, but we are fortunately, and knock on wood, this continues. I mean, it was when Brad was coaching, it was like year after year. Well, you know, Hayward's hurt, or Kyrie's hurt, or Brown's hurt, or, you know, Hayward's hurt again, or Kemba's hurt. You know, like, it was just raw. Like, it was a different injury of significance. I mean, a different injury to a starter every single postseason, to where you said, well, maybe they can make a run, but it's probably not going to be their year, which is exactly, you know, it's Boston is more prevalent as a sports city and certainly nationally than Denver is. But that's what it was like every year alongside Jokic, with guys being unavailable until everyone was, and they broke out. They, you know, Murray was finally there and could, you know, do what he did. And Jokic is Jokic, and they go out and they win the championship. And, you know, so the Celtics the last couple of years, generally speaking, have been healthy. There are certainly no injury excuses to not winning a championship these last 2 years. So hopefully with a rebuilt cast and arguably more impressive, and like you said before, Barrett, I mean, as fun a team to watch as we have seen around here in 15 years, without a doubt, hopefully they can be that in the playoffs. And if they win the banner, like, great. Like, we all want banner 18. But at least, you know, be there. Like, be in it. Have the shot. Be healthy. Be available. That's the bot. Like, I'd love to have that whole, you know, title or bust. And if they don't win a championship, it's a failure. All those conversations. Like, we'll have those again. We've already kind of started to. We'll have them again at some point. But in order to have those conversations truly, you need to be healthy enough to have them. And I hope that is the case. That's just forever going to be my biggest concern with the Boston Celtics team in the playoffs, is will they all be there? Will that top six, and ideally eight, but especially that top six, will they be available? And then it's right there, man. You are fully capable of winning.
Well, the good thing is five of the top six are basically Ironmen, right? I mean, with the exception of Kristaps, the rest of these guys, like Drew, Derek White, Al still playing at his age. All right, so Valenti, before we go, I got to ask you one question because I think you're the most equipped to answer this question. Yep. Since this is now, it's what, four straight games that Porzingis has missed? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you make of, like, how he dresses, man? Like, this is one of the sharper dressers, I think, in the NBA. I mean, this guy's coming out. He's well-dressed.
Yeah, I texted my buddy about this last night. I'm glad he brought this up.
With Tyler Hero there.
I will be – first off, I thought Porzingis last night, like the chocolate brown suit, was just real, real sharp. A couple of things I think are interesting about his style. One, he does like his pants a little shorter. And for someone that's tall like that, that's an interesting decision. I'm not saying it's the right or wrong one. It's just a decision. As someone who's short, I'm always like conscious of pants being too long for me. And when they're too long, they look extra long because proportionally it doesn't make a lot of sense with my frame. So to have a shorter pant, it's cool now, but I don't think it'll be cool in quite much longer. He's hard to definitely build a suit for though, because he's so slim and so tall. The only thing that bothered me about last night was like he had the bottom button of the vest unbuttoned and it exposed a little shirt at the bottom, which drove me crazy. It just kind of fools around with the aesthetic. If he were to have, because you can unbutton the bottom button of the vest and not have a lot of tension on that button if you want to do that, like completely, that's fine. But then have the rest of the vest be a little bit longer so you don't see that shirt at the bottom. But he's a killer dresser, dude. He's ridiculous. Between his suits and then like the old school Mercedes that he drives, like the aesthetic is like so great for me. It's awesome. I love it.
This is the best thing we've done the whole pod. That breakdown was phenomenal.
I'm learning
a lot by just listening here.
Is there a Ringer fashion podcast that we can get Ev on to talk about or something?
Let me know.
There's probably got to be. I mean, there's got
to
be.
There used to be one. It was like Ringer Dunks or something like that. I forget what it was. But it was more like the sneaker pod. The sneaker pod, which isn't really my.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is it, but if you had to choose, and there's going to be bias here on your part, is it Kristaps Porzingis or is it Danilo Gallinari? Who's the more fashionable dresser?
Oh, good one. That's tough. I don't know. I will say, like, I just keep remembering the cowboy outfit that Danilo had. That was like such a stretch.
I mean, he had a full season of Gallo outfits. So
yeah, I mean, like Gallo had one job, and that was get dressed.
Yeah.
You know who I felt bad for? Please. You know who I felt bad for? It was like a couple games. It may have been a couple weeks ago. There was a game where Cornette and Porzingis were both out. And Porzingis had like a sick three-piece suit on, and Cornette just like dressed like I would be like hanging out like in my apartment, just like with you know,
t-shirt.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I kind of feel bad for Cornette here. Porzingis is out here like looking incredibly fashionable, and here we got Luke Cornette, who's obviously the funniest guy on the team, apparently. But
listen, I'm not saying Cornette has Kristaps money. He's got more money than we've got. He made a choice.
True.
It wouldn't fit his brand to be incredibly well dressed on the bench.
Yeah,
no,
you don't expect that out of Luke Cornette.
He is a riot, though. I mean, for anyone that has slept on Luke Cornette for the last couple of years and missed like his media day availabilities and that type of thing, dude is hilarious. But search that out on Google or wherever else, the old Twitter and YouTube if you've missed any of it. But fun show. Good to catch up. Let this one breathe for a couple days, too, because as mentioned, the Celtics don't play again until Sunday. The back-to-back Washington at Washington in D.C. Take a walk around the mall or something, and then back at it at home against the Pistons before that midweek clash with the Bucks. So a few interesting ones for one reason or another on the way here. Looking forward to it. But Barrett, always enjoy when you hop on with us, man.
Thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for the fashion lesson, Valenti. I'm going to take that to heart for my own fashion going forward.
I'm still waiting to get measured here by Ev. My wife keeps telling me I gotta improve.
You were sick last time. That's the only reason why I didn't stop by.
I know. I don't blame you. You didn't need what I had. For Ev Valenti, Brian Barrett, I'm Adam Kaufman, and the first place Celtics for them as well. Keep it up. Keep it up, Joe. We got your back around here. New Celtics beat next week. We'll talk to you.